Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is the result of millions of years of water seeping in and evaporating, creating these crystals. Yep. And then somebody can just stumble, or you could just walk right by it and you don't even see it.
It's just this little rock. It's like, please crack me open. Hey, science pals, and welcome back to The Random Theory. I'm Grace.
And I'm Josh.
And together we discuss sciencey things. That's what we do here.
That is what we do.
How you been?
You know, been good. The band did Fork Fest. That happened.
How was it?
Recently.
How was the Fork Fest?
You know, the year before was fun, but it was so hot, like we almost died playing. Like it was literally, we limped off stage because we played right when it was the hot. It was like 5:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. And the stage is facing the sun. And so we literally, we limped off stage and we're all lightheaded and collapsed on the grass behind. But this year it was much more reasonable. And
good.
So it was a lot more enjoyable. And it was just like a great day, like just to hang out and mm-hmm. meet and just, you know, talk to other friends that are in the music scene or whatever. Yeah, it was a fun day. It was really fun.
We love Fork Fest.
But yeah, other than that, you know, just hanging out, doing a lot of stuff, keeping busy. What about you? What you got?
I like it. I don't even know what I got going on. We were talking off camera before like we joined in on this. I was just saying how like, you know, I just feel like I'm coasting right now and that's okay.
Yeah, I feel like you just have to occasionally you just go through those times, you know, where you're just kind of just going along.
Yeah, I've got like nothing super crazy or exciting to report and I'm just like coasting,
well,
figuring it out.
And also, it's probably, I feel like you're probably still just like coming down from the crazy month you had last month where you were traveling nonstop.
Nonstop, yep.
So,
I feel like I don't know, I just like haven't slept well this past week. So it's definitely been one of those things that like that's catching up to me. And so I don't know, I just need a good night's sleep. That's all I want.
That's what like I would say a good like 90% of the population just needs a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I just want to like sleep and wake up and just like feel refreshed. I don't know, that's my dream at
that's
this
the
point.
Dream that is the dream. I feel like that's been my dream for the last like 5 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I just wake up just unrested. I don't know what it is. But I just feel like I wake up and I just feel like I wrestled myself all night.
Oh, I just thought of an interesting update. So this last week when we're recording this, helped our boss, Janae, move out of the T-Core, like officially fully move out of the T-Core house for anyone that knows. So that was our set was in there where we did the podcast with the grass wall. And so we are fully out. I believe the person that bought the house, they closed on it on Tuesday. We're recording this on a Friday. and it's supposed to come out on a Monday. This is a really tight podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was weird. They moved out. They managed to get Grant's workbench out of the basement.
Did they really?
They did. I think they had to like break down the door. Glass doors, and I think they like ripped them out of the wall and then had to put them back or something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, but we couldn't leave it there. It had to come with.
Yeah, couldn't just leave it there. So
No.
But I did meet the new owner of the house. He's a very nice guy.
Oh, cool.
So that's good. Yeah.
That is good. Oh, if those walls could talk in that house.
They got a lot to say.
They got a lot of stories. Jeez. Yeah. Shoo. And on that note, let's hop into some ratings and reviews, shall we?
I think we shall. What do you got on the Apple Pod?
I have got one from Apple Pod. They said, hi, and it's from OG T-Core. Now that is a name.
Yeah, OG T-Core. You probably just appreciated the story I told about Grant's workbench.
Yeah, I'm sure. They're going to love this. They said, hello, my name is Jonas, and I am responding to the sewer pod. Ah, oh. I love that.
Okay.
They said, my uncle is the manager at a poop water treatment plant.
Okay, the poop water.
I have visited the plant, and let's just say it did not smell very good. No, does not smell good, you know, at all.
Not surprising at all.
Yeah. And then they also have a joke for Josh.
Okay, here we go.
That's how you know they're OG T-Core. That's when they drop a joke in here. Yeah. What did the horse say as it fell over?
What?
Help, I can't giddy up.
Giddy up.
I can't giddy up.
Giddy up, partner.
That was awesome. And then OG T-Core said, this pod is amazing.
Jonas, great joke. Thank you for letting us know about your, was it the uncle?
Yes, their uncle.
Their uncle. That's super cool. I really love when we catch like either a rating and review or an email that's like responding from and it's like, I like this one that it's at least current. Like some of them we've seen it like 4 months later and it's like, oh, maybe
we're sorry.
Yeah, you know. But at least this one, it's like, we just put out that podcast this week. So yeah. That's really current.
Thank you for the rating and review, Jonas.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Grace was saying she hadn't looked at Apple Podcasts too recently and was surprised by how many amazing reviews we have there. So thank you so much to everyone.
Yeah, keep dropping your pod ideas in there too and your rating and reviews. It means the world to us.
We're using every single one of those pod ideas. So it's happening. I've got an email from our email, randomtheorypod@gmail.com.
What's it say?
This is actually the topic for this week.
Mm.
I know, right? So this comes from the fursuiting idiot, which I believe has written in a few times. But we're all about that, you know?
I love it.
It doesn't just have to be a one-time thing. We can have a conversation here, people.
Yeah, keep writing in. Keep writing in.
So they say, hello, hello. OGRT, they put insert beaker emoji. I assume they couldn't find the beaker emoji. Been here from the start. Thank you so much for that.
Yes, you are OGRT.
They said, I bring a podcast suggestion and a cookie. And they found the cookie emoji.
I love that they know us so well that they knew to bring us a cookie.
You can't come at us with like a dense science topic without first offering a cookie.
Yeah. Yes, please offer me a cookie and I'm way more willing to listen.
Here's the suggestion. How do geodes and other interesting rock/crystals form?
Hmm.
Then they go on with a joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo hoo.
No need to cry. It's just me. And then there's like an emoji thing that looks like somebody giving finger guns. I don't know.
It's like side eye. It's like gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's nice.
That's fun.
And then they closed it with saying, thank you for making this podcast. My brother and I love listening to it while we do our homework. It makes it way less boring. Peace.
Aw.
That's great. That was a great email. The first suiting idiot.
That was so good.
I'm so glad that your brother and you and your brother love listening to it while doing homework, which is interesting. I don't know if that's like distracting or anything, but I would be very distracted
by me.
Yeah, yeah. We're so distracting.
But thanks for the email. I'm glad you put us on when you're doing homework. That's awesome.
Yeah. And thank you for the cookie.
If you're a T-Core watcher, there's a video coming out soon that does have cookies in it. So be on the lookout.
Does it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh gosh.
The plate tectonics video.
There's some cookies in that?
There's some cookies.
I'm so excited. All right. Geodes and rocks and crystals.
Geodes, rocks, crystals. Coming up right after this break.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, we're back with geodes and rocks and crystals. What do you got?
They're really interesting. So first off, a geode is a stone with a secret in it at first glance. And they seem like they're nothing more than a gray rock that you might walk up on and see like in your neighborhood. So it's like literally a normal looking rock.
Yeah.
And when you crack it open, that's when they reveal their inner beauty. They're like a tiny cave filled with some of the world's most spectacular and colorful crystals.
Yeah. Have you ever found a geode?
No.
Yeah.
Have you, like out in nature?
I have. Out in the wilds.
In the wilds?
In the amongst the land.
Out on the land.
Well, listen, you know that I was raised...
Small town.
I was raised on the land. I was at one time I was one with nature and
not anymore.
Are you kidding me? I live in the city. I'm soft now. But yeah, I've had the opportunity to find many interesting things out in nature, and
that's crazy.
Yeah, geodes are really wild. They're super cool. I mean, it is like that. Like it looks like just a basic gray, you know, just a rock.
Yeah.
But then you crack that thing open and it is something completely different.
Yeah, it's like the Earth's Easter eggs.
Oh, yeah. That's a great way to... Yeah, it's so true.
So these geodes, they come from lava, essentially. And they're formed when there's pockets of air within rocks. And this often happens after volcanic eruptions, when the lava cools around air bubbles. So there's different types of geodes that we're going to talk about. So in volcanic rocks, the hollow space is a result of gas bubbles becoming trapped inside of cooling magma. And these pockets leave space for groundwater to seep in. Here's the thing about groundwater.
Okay.
It has insane amounts of minerals in it.
That's true.
Yes. So what happens when water evaporates? The minerals can't go with it, so the minerals stay in the rock.
Mm.
And they build upon each other and start to form crystals.
Okay.
And this takes thousands and even millions of years for crystals to begin forming. It's kind of like a pearl inside of a, what is it? Like an oyster egg? It's an oyster you find pearls in? Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, that's so crazy. It's like all of these things when we're talking about like Earth's, I guess this is like Earth science, right?
Yeah. This is my jam. I love this kind of stuff.
This is your thing. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you love space. I love Earth things.
Right on. But it's so crazy that like that right there, like these crazy geodes that are, you know, amazing to look at and find. It is the result of millions of years of water seeping in and evaporating, creating these crystals. Yep. And then somebody can just stumble, or you could just walk right by it and you don't even see it. And this thing has taken millions of years to form. It's like
just this little rock. It's like, please crack me
open. It's done so much work over the course of so many years, and we just might even miss it. It's crazy.
Yeah. And you know, the larger the crystals are, the older the geode is.
Makes sense.
And so, you know, and it's the same thing in sedimentary rocks. The hollow space is often formed by groundwater dissolving an existing structure within the rock.
Okay. So it gets in there and flushes out a space and then...
Yeah. So there's different like geodes from all over the world, and they have different classifications that we're going to talk about. And sometimes the cavity might form due to a fossil being dissolved or even decaying matter, leaving a gas pocket in the sediment.
Oh, decaying matter. So, interesting.
A deer getting stuck in lava creates geode.
Right on. That would be what a life cycle for that deer.
Yeah, right. It became a geode.
It lived a life as a deer, fell in lava, the lava cooled over again like hundreds of thousands of years, then that decayed and left a pocket, and then more millions of years that turned into a geode.
Sure.
Amazing.
Okay, so let's talk about the formations of these crystals. So in the second stage of this geode formation, minerals are deposited on the walls of the cavity, like we talked about before. And these minerals are present in hydrothermal fluids, groundwater, and other things which flow through the host rock. I like that we're calling it a host rock. Like it's like the geodes are parasites.
the minerals are infecting it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the temperature or chemistry change causes minerals to precipitate out of the water. So the water, like leaving and everything, hardens the walls of the cavity. And the first layer in many geodes is often chalcedony, which is a microcrystalline form of quartz. So it's usually white, and it's always like the outline of the geode.
That's the base.
Yeah.
For anyone out there in the world with some hard water at your house.
Oh, yeah, literally.
When that stuff builds up. You know, you see it on like your sinks or a shower or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically that, but inside of a rock cavity.
Literally, though.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this happens over and over again because cyclical changes in temperature or fluid chemistry. And so when this happens over and over and over again, you get an inward pointing of crystals that will begin to form.
Fascinating. Amazing.
Okay, so geodes are not found randomly here and there. Instead, they're actually found in large numbers of areas where rocks have formed in a special geochemical environment.
Okay.
So you're not gonna, so like how Josh was saying, so Utah is very special in the fact that like so much has happened in that state geologically over time, which makes sense of like why he could go out in his backyard and like find one.
It was not in my backyard, like, I will say.
No, not in your backyard, but like on a hike, on a special trip thing.
Right.
You're like, I don't just live in barren wasteland.
I promise I don't live in the middle of a sandstone. But well, to be fair, when I say it's not in my backyard, to other people, it might as well be in my backyard because it was maybe like a 30-minute drive outside of my town to
find. It's like in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's like we're right there, you know.
But like you're not like the way that these geodes form, you can go and basically look on a map. If you go and like search geodes in my area or like where can I find geodes in my area, like you can find them in Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, Utah. Like you can find them all over, but they're not going to be the beautiful geodes that you're expecting. There's a bunch of different types of geodes, and we're going to talk about them a little later on. So don't, when you crack one open, if you find one, don't be expecting this like beautiful, bright crystal structure to be in your face.
Don't get disappointed.
Yeah.
That little rock has been through a lot. It's doing its best. It's been through
a lot. Yeah. So most geodes localized are in A, stratified volcanic deposited areas such as basalt or tuffs, or they're going to be in stratified sedimentary carbonated deposits such as limestone or dolomites.
Dolomites.
You know, there's like a diversity of environments that yield a small number of geodes, but the like it has to be a very specific geochemical environment for these rocks to form.
Right. And I would bet where I grew up in Utah, that whole region is pretty sedimentary.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it falls under that category of limestones and dolomites.
You know, it's interesting, like, for you to like be able to classify that and like look at it, because geodes form in many different ways and they actually don't truly know. Like, what I'm telling you is what they think and how they think geodes form, but they don't actually know how geodes formed. Yeah. So there's a number of valid theories about their formation, but they don't actually know.
Okay.
Like, we know that, yes, it's like the chemical deposits of all these different minerals with water over time, but how does the water get in? How is the rock porous? How, like, it's like you can't follow a geode through its whole entire life.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. It's like, again, we're talking about this happening over millions of years. Of course, no one has sat there and watched a rock turn into a geode.
Yeah, like the shortest amount of time is like 1,000 years. Like you would be passing off research for ever, like through like so many different people. It'd be insane.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. You know, with every rock that you see, just remember it has a story. That sounds
That's beautiful. Like, that is... Every rock has a, just like every person, every rock has a story.
But it's true though. Think about it. Like you might see a piece of sand on the beach, but what was that sand in its previous life? Or like, what was previously?
It might have been part of a mountain, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows where it came from? But just remember that every rock has a story. And, you know, there's so much special stuff that goes along with it, and each colored band represents an episode of agitate formation and a change in the composition of the groundwater that delivered mineral material into the geode.
Yeah,
that's what's so crazy to me, is like you look at these geodes and they have like all these different bands on it, and it's like they didn't form instantly, and that shows basically how that area changed over time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like another example would be like the rings on a tree.
Yeah.
That just represents that much time going by and what changes happened and stuff.
Yeah. Like they can look at tree rings and be like, oh, this is when there was severe drought in the area. This is when there was severe like X, Y. Like it's crazy what they can track with these tree rings.
Yeah. And layers of rock are the same way. You know, you can see different what it's made up of and how thick it is and how, you know, how long did that last and all that stuff. And
it's insane to me.
Every rock has a story.
Every rock has a story.
Should that be
a story to tell?
Should that be the title of the podcast?
I think it should be. Every rock has a story.
Yeah, I think I need that on a shirt or something. Like, yeah, that's pretty.
With a little rock smiling.
Yeah, just like a cute little, or like one, like a rock with googly eyes on it or something.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I love that. So volcanic geodes. These are the most widely known and sought after geodes, and they're the ones that form in areas of volcanic activity.
Okay.
Which. Volcanoes in themselves, like, I don't think people realize this. I didn't realize this until I went to Iceland. So we went to, which this is kind of cool what I'm about to say. So when we went to Iceland, we went to a volcanic field, and these volcanoes had erupted in 2020 and 2021.
Oh, yes, I remember.
Yes. So what's cool is, when can you ever look at a rock formation and be like, I'm older than that rock formation because I'm older than that lava field? Like, that's crazy.
That is a very interesting thought. Yeah.
Like, I'm older than this crust of this earth that was just created.
Wow.
That's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Number two, the other crazy thing to think that we saw is we went in 2023, right?
Yeah.
The lava fields are still steaming.
Oh, wow. But they're not, it's not still active. Like, it's
no,
not.
No, they're not actively erupting. There's no, like, lava chasing you. But it is still steaming. Like, it is so hot that it has not cooled yet.
Wow.
It is still steaming underground. So when I read this and I'm like, oh, well, this makes sense because it's still evaporating water off.
Yeah.
Every single day. Groundwater, whatever water is trapped, like the gases, everything are being, is like trapped in it and is about like it's steaming out. Like I literally watched a lava field steam. That was rock that was like a year, 2 years old. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, the Earth is not doing anything fast.
No.
It's traveling on its own timeline. Like,
yeah.
It takes millions of years for something to happen, apparently.
But that's just like so crazy to me that like 2 years later, this thing is still hot. Yeah. Could you imagine your stove still being hot? Like you cooked breakfast this morning and it's like, oh, the stove is still hot.
Like how much heat had to be involved?
Yeah.
For 2 years later. I mean, obviously, like rock is a very good insulator and container.
It traps for heat well, yeah.
Yeah, it traps it in and it holds it, but still like 2 years and it's still steaming hot. Like
still you can't touch it or like step on it or anything.
Yeah. That is a tremendous amount of heat. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like there's parts of it. Like we saw some geologists and volcanists like checking out the area and stuff. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can't like there's areas you still can't walk in because you'll fall into like hot lava.
Oh, my.
Like underneath
goodness.
It is like still like lava. Like it's still like
that is
hot.
Terrifying.
It could still burn you alive after 2 years. That's crazy to me.
That is like. There's the thing that's in, you know, it's in movies and whatever when people fall through ice on like a frozen lake.
Yeah.
This is like that, but 400 times worse.
Falling
through the ground.
You're dead. You're
into
dead.
Lava.
You're dead.
Oh my goodness. That is terrifying.
Oh, it sounds so painful. It kind of makes my body like cringe.
Yeah. When you said that, I just kind of like tensed up.
Okay, so the voids in the basaltic lava flows often are infilled with agitate, like quartz, opal, and other minerals that are delivered by hydrothermal water or the groundwater. And some voids are spaces occupied by gases that failed to escape the lava flow before the surface crusted over, which is basically what I just was talking about.
Right.
So in case you're curious about where all that gas comes from, we're going to like spill into this a little bit and then we're going to like go back to geodes because it's very interesting and like important to know about. So where does all the gas come from with eruptions? Also, sorry, side note, did you see that there's another volcano erupting in Hawaii right now?
No, I didn't.
I've been following it on YouTube because they have like a live cam.
Oh, right. Sweet.
Dude, I got
the freaking, okay. I haven't seen it because I feel like every webpage I've gone to this week has been about the Titanic. So like I can't, there's no other news in the world right now. And
yeah, I have some hot takes on that.
I do too. And I'm going to drop one right here. Like obviously it's important news. I don't like the like, I don't even know what you would call it, like memification or viral news story where it's like everyone in the world is all of a sudden this is the only thing we talk about. Like it's so weird.
I don't understand why it became such a big thing that everyone was obsessed with.
I don't either.
I just don't understand. And I don't, yeah, I am with you. Like these people were lost at sea and I can't even imagine what that would have felt like.
There was like, I saw something yesterday that was some like British news station that had a live counter of how many hours of oxygen they had left on their broadcast.
That makes me so sick.
Like, why would they do that?
That makes me so sick.
Yeah, it's just so weird. But I mean, yeah, it was a crazy thing. Obviously, they were like, the Titanic is so deep and they were going that deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible what happened. Yeah. And I think now like they've officially come out and said that it imploded. And that they're gone. There's no, you know, they're not going to recover. There's nothing left. I just don't understand like the virality of how it, like why did it catch on and why was it such a big thing? It's so weird. The other hot take that I had, and I said this at the end of the Snappy Science, is, and I still have this, like, especially now, like, that they've confirmed that they're 100% dead, and
yeah,
you know, is, have you seen the stuff online of, like, people basically making jokes at, like, the whole thing has been like a joke, like, just people yeah. making memes, and
I think it is so freaking rude, and I've seen yeah. a couple memes as well, as like, I just became a deep sea scientist, like, I know everything about submarines and blah 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 now, and like
yeah.
people making memes about, I don't know, it's like the desensitivity to it is really freaking sad, if yeah. you ask me,
yeah.
and it makes me really sick, because, you know, whether these people paid to go down to see the Titanic or not, that, like, on board they were still doing research, like yeah. they're still doing research, like, these are people, oh, it just makes me so angry,
because I think the general, like, narrative has been like, oh, these were billionaires, you know, rich people,
it doesn't matter who it is.
At the end of the day, they are still human beings that imploded yeah. in a sub potentially thousands of meters under the ground, you know, under,
like,
the ocean.
People don't understand, like, what your body does at that depth.
Yeah, there's nothing left. You just turn to paste and that's it.
Like, okay, say a valve broke. Like, we're never really going to potentially know what happened. But if a valve yeah. broke and that thing started depressurizing, the amount of intense pain that they would have been in would have been unimaginable.
In the blink of an eye, too. Like, it, and I just, yeah, like, the fact that people are making jokes about that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
constant jokes. And I get it. Like, all of the... You know, there's all this stuff that's come out about the CEO of the company and the, you know, blatant negligence and just awful things that he did, like, you know, just no concern for safety and certain things like that. Like, that's, I get that. Like, that's not
yeah.
An excusable thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were still four other people on board and they're all still human beings that died in a pretty horrific way. So
yeah. I'm pretty sure one of those was like someone, it was like some kind of scientist was on board as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So it's like, not only did we lose like other human beings, and like if they're billionaires, who cares? But like, we also lost a scientist. Yeah. We also lost like people that were curious about the world. Like, we, like, I don't know. It's just like, wake up and get your head out of the freaking media, and like, not everything needs to be a freaking story. That's like my big thing. I don't know. It's just like super frustrating and like sad, because yeah. I don't know. There's a fishing boat that had migrants that sank in international waters.
And no one's talking about that.
No one's talking about that. Like, we're not going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about these people. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think like 100 people are dead. 100 others are like floating in the water, and like there were 700 people on board. Like, come on, guys.
And you know
what's
crazy?
Where do our priorities lay?
I haven't even heard about that. That's how crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, I keep up. But like I said, the whole reason this conversation started talking about a volcano in Hawaii, I haven't
yeah.
even seen that this week, because the only thing I've seen is this freaking submersible.
Oh, this is what really makes me mad, and I'm gonna like, sorry, this might end up becoming a two-part podcast about rocks, but like, what makes me so angry about the whole thing is we became fixated and fascinated about what? People's death?
People dying.
People dying?
Yeah.
You didn't care about it being on a submarine. You didn't care about what they were, like, you knew they were going to see the Titanic, but like,
but
why do you care?
That. Yeah.
It wasn't about that. It wasn't yeah. about that.
It was about whether or not they were going to be found and whether or not they were going to die.
Yeah.
Like that. That is why people were so fascinated. It wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't about like, oh, these people went on an expedition to see the Titanic. That's interesting. Let me learn more about. No, it was like, are they going to find them dead? Are they going to be?
Yeah.
You know, are they dead? Like that's.
Yeah.
That's what it's so like morbid and weird.
Because it's not affecting you, like the listener,
yeah.
like
yeah.
you are disconnected from it because media is making it a certain way. So you
yeah.
have lost all personal connection to this
yeah.
thing. You're not thinking about the families. You're not thinking about what would have happened on that submarine. You're not
yeah.
thinking about what was happening in those moments. And here's the thing. No one knows what was going on that submarine.
Yeah.
Not a single person.
And they never will. Like, there's, I like.
You never will. And that's what makes me so sick is like, you don't know what happened in those final seconds, in those final minutes, in those last couple hours.
And
you don't know who was scrambling, who was trying to do what. Like, oh, that's what makes me so angry about this whole thing is everyone's like so fascinated about seeing if they died, but you don't know what was happening for them to try to make it right.
And yeah. Like, I think you hit it right on the head there about like that people are so disconnected. Like this might as well have been some Netflix TV narrative TV show, fictional.
Literally.
You know, this was the season finale that everyone's talking about.
Literally, because, honestly, because
everyone's disconnected from it, you know. No one, yeah. other than obviously the heartbreaking situation of the families of the five people that were on board, everyone else in the world that is so fascinated is completely disconnected from it. And
yeah,
so to them, again, it could have been a Netflix TV show that they were talking about, and this is how it ended. Like, it's crazy.
It's like insane to me. No, it's so true that you say that. Because then, like, I think I posted on my personal Instagram over in Britain or something. They were already going live with scientists talking about submarines and talking about all this stuff and like basically creating a documentary surrounding this thing.
I did see like a news, like a headline that they were making a documentary.
Like, I'm sorry, what? This is just a big cash grab. Are you
coming out
me?
The documentary is like out this next week. They are like,
yes.
I don't know how they can make it. Like, that is insane that they are making a documentary that fast on something that just had a conclusion. I think this morning while we're recording this Friday, June 23rd.
Yeah, the whole thing just like really upsets me and rubs me the very much the wrong way. And yeah. I don't have an answer for it.
Yeah,
I just think it all sucks.
It just sucks. Like, it's just terrible. Like, no, there's yeah. not really a good, there's no good thing to say yeah. about it. And
no,
it's all bad. Anyway, tell me about this volcano in Hawaii.
I don't really know a lot about it. I just know it's been erupting.
Okay. This last week, like it started this last week or?
I think it's been erupting for a minute now.
Okay. Okay.
But let's talk about where does all this gas come from. So magma contains a lot of dissolved gas. And when the magma ascends to the surface, the gas expands in proportion to the pressure reduction. So obviously, as it escapes, it now has like no pressure and it's just like woohoo and releases everything. So when the magma erupts, as the lava flows, so much gas is released that not all of it is able to escape. So some of that gas can get trapped in the lava and produce large cavities when the lava solidifies.
Which is, you see that in like, what's the, I think it's called like pumice stone?
Which is
it's just like full of little bubbles, little holes yep. in the rock, which would be gas that was trapped in there and
leaked out.
Yeah.
Yep. So other voids and solidified lava flows were produced as liquid lava flowed out after the flow was only partially solidified. And these are called lava tubes, and they produce some of the largest and longest geodes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So like the cathedral geodes are branches of these lava tubes that later infilled with mineral material. And many of them have geometry of long tree branches being nearly a meter in diameter and many meters in length.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Could you imagine finding one of those things?
No, I don't even want to know how you find one.
I don't either. But some people do that. Probably the volcanologists.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think a lava tube is just terrifying.
Yeah, there's like those people, like I think in Hawaii, there's places where you can like ride a raft through a lava tube or something.
What?
Yeah, it's like, I feel like it's in Hawaii somewhere.
That's crazy. That has to be a huge lava tube.
Yeah, I mean, they're like massive underground tubes, but it does feel a little like sketchy, especially with Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know, still kind of an active situation.
So geodes and sedimentary rock, which are, you know, the ones by Josh in Utah and typically anywhere that they're not volcanoes. Limestone, dolomite, and shale.
I will say, so shale. I mean, where I grew up, limestone, I mean, obviously, like, I grew up near a lot of national parks like Zion and Bryce Canyon, and that is a lot of limestone. All those formations are made out of limestone. But specifically in the area near my hometown, a lot of shale. Like a lot of shale. Tons of shale. So it is all, it's all making sense. The picture's all coming together.
I like it. I like it. So in those deposits, a gas-filled void can serve as an opening for geode formation. So shells, tree branches, roots, and other organic material often decay away to leave a void for the formation of mineral materials. Then you can, those can be filled with quartz, opal, agate, and carbonate materials.
Yeah.
And these are usually smaller than geodes formed in volcanic rock.
Right. Yeah. Like the one that I have seen, I've seen like two, I think. And they, you know, they were maybe like a baseball size at the biggest.
Gotcha.
So they certainly weren't the like volcanic 3 meter long or whatever.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because geodes are most easily collected when their host rock has weathered away, and they can occur because basalt, limestone, dolomites, and shale weather away so much more quickly than quartz. So quartz and chalcedony, that's what we're calling it, typically form the outer layer of the geode.
Right. You mentioned that earlier where it was like the first layer is generally like a coating of quartz. So this is just saying like that is what is more commonly found, is instead of having a rock, you would see like kind of a ball of quartz.
Yeah, exactly.
And then break that open and then you have like the crystalline structure in there, which is really cool. I've never seen that. The one I have seen where they still had a layer of rock on the outside, but yeah, that's cool.
It's really interesting. So geodes are given a variety of names. The word geode often preceded by the name of the mineral material which filled the geode. So a gate geode or amethyst geode are really good examples. So the word geode might be preceded by a geographic or a stratigraphic name, like the Brazilian geode.
Right, so like places it's found.
Yep. Now, here's the thing. Everyone expects to find a bright, shiny geometric crystal when they open up a geode, but sometimes there are other interesting landscapes inside.
Okay, interesting landscapes.
Yes, interesting landscapes. So one of the most common finds which geometric crystals are not present is a geode lined with
chalcedony. Yeah.
Which is a microcrystalline variety of quartz.
Gotcha.
So it's just like a little bitty guy. And chalcedony crystals are so small they cannot be seen with an unaided eye. So in a geode, a tiny crystal or chalcedony.
Yep.
Will attach to the wall and will be coated with a layer of tiny chalcedony crystals, all pointing outward from a seed crystal. And layer after layer is deposited. And the early result looks like a small hemisphere attached to the inner surface of the geode. And these tiny hemispheres begin to grow and grow and grow one over the other and result in a landscape that looks like a pile of grapes.
Oh, grapes.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Right on.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So various varieties of quartz crystals are the most common minerals found inside a geode, but calcite, pyrite, hemonite, barite, smithsonite, and a host of other materials can be found inside.
Yeah, all the ites.
So some minerals that form crystals can give them their beautiful color. So here's where the color comes from with geodes. Okay. So additional elements can mix their way into the geode and mix in their own unique shade. But
right. Those that don't know, because we're talking about all these geodes being made of quartz, and quartz is white. It's like a clear white crystal. So no color, obviously.
You can find quartz basically in anything. Like you can walk down the street and like pick up a rock, and if it's like white looking, it's quartz.
Yeah, if it has little like white kind of shimmery spots or whatever, that's probably quartz in the rock. Yeah. So how does it, what gets mixed in to give it a color?
So iron will give a crystal its red or purple color. Titanium creates a blue. Nickel or chromium thank you, chromium, leads to green, and manganese produces a pink crystal.
Okay. Interesting.
It's really interesting. And so if you, this is a side note, because we're not going to talk about it, but if you ever come across one at a market, and it is a very, very vibrant color, chances are it's a fake.
Ooh.
So geodes are very, very popular for people to fake, in the sense that they can enhance the color by basically putting the quartz. So if they find a white one, they can put it in like a pink solution and it will like absorb that color.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you're ever curious if it's a real one or a fake one, you can basically look at it. And if you can see like cracks and vines through like one of the rock structures, it means that it was dyed, because you won't be able to see like veins or lines if it's grown naturally, if that makes any sense.
Right. Because those little cracks would just attract more of the dye.
Yeah. So if like one, if there's like a crack and it looks like very, very pigmented in the crack,
yeah,
it means that it's dyed, because on a rock naturally it would lose color in that area.
Any geode that I've seen they're not really vibrant color.
No.
It's generally more of just like a hint of the color.
Yeah. Now there are some, like if you Google and you find like the biggest geodes in the world, like the ones that have been baking for basically centuries,
they've been in
millions
the oven.
And years. Yeah. They've been baking for a minute. Then you're going to find like some really intense, beautiful colors.
Okay.
But typically if you're finding one off the street or like randomly, you're not going to run into one that's super brightly colored.
Interesting. Okay. So before we wrap it up, I see here a mention of Utah.
Yes.
On the final thing talks about the great state of Utah. So let's hear that.
Yes. The Dugway geode.
Okay, I'm familiar with Dugway.
Are you?
I am. I don't know if I've ever been there, but yeah, I'm very familiar
with
this.
It's one of the most interesting geode deposits in the United States.
Okay.
It's in, I think this is Juab County.
Juab is how that would be pronounced.
No,
it's a
it
weird
is not.
Spelling. Yeah, it's Juab. Oh yeah, you lived here for a while. You know we do weird stuff.
The weirdest things. Juab County,
there
Utah.
You go.
So between 32,000 and 14,000 years ago, Lake Bonneville covered much of what is now western Utah, and wave action along the shores of the lake eroded geode-bearing rhyolite flows. And the wave action, along with the weathering, liberated the geodes from the rhyolite and deposited them several miles away in lake sediment of now what is known as Dugway geode beds.
Okay, so from a giant prehistoric lake with lots of mineral, and now there's geode beds.
Yes, so today lots of people search for Dugway geodes because they're a thrill to find, because they're agitate in their crystalline centers.
Mm.
But some of the Dugway geodes contain another hidden surprise.
Oh.
Trace amounts of uranium incorporated into the calidine, into the lining. Because the geode's interior lining exhibits a spectacular lime green fluorescent under UV light.
So they have uranium in them.
Yes, they have uranium in them. Trace amounts of uranium, which allow them to grow bright green. Google it. It's a cool looking geode.
Okay. There's in the middle of nowhere, desert Utah, there's some weird stuff. And I guess there's radioactive geodes now. So
it's fine.
Cool.
We're fine. That makes sense.
Cool. Geodes.
There it is. Geodes and submarines.
I forgot the little submarine tangent in the middle there.
Yeah, big tangent.
Yeah, you're right. It was not little. Well, you know, we had to talk about it.
We really did.
The fursuiting idiot, thank you so much for writing in and suggesting that. I think it was a great topic to talk about. I feel like we just touched the surface of
I agree.
This stuff. Like we could go much deeper.
Maybe one day. I like
it. Maybe one day. If you have a topic you want us to talk about, make sure to leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and suggest it there. Or You can send us an email at randomtheorypod@gmail.com.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next week.
I'm excited.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.